thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of I'm Here For It, the podcast. We like to begin our show with a thought for the day. Embrace the journey, even when the path is uncertain. Every step forward is a step closer to your dream. With that being said, I'm your sister friend, Tori.
And I'm your girl, Trina. We appreciate your time and your viewership. When you have thousands of podcasting options, you chose us. And guess what?
We choose you.
Absolutely. What's going on with your T-Styles?
Oh, I've had some awesome news today. I found out that my oldest daughter is having a baby. So I am going to be a grandmother. I've been leaning towards Mimi or Lovey, you know, I don't know.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the family is all sold on Mimi. Honestly, the dog calls me Mimi right now. You know, they say, go to Mimi, and he'll come to me. So, but then Kris Jenner calls herself Lovey, and I kind of like that name too, but I guess Mimi's probably going to be it.
Nice. Well, congratulations. Congratulations on the grandbaby. I'm so excited and happy that we're going to have a new family member.
Yes.
Speaking of family.
Yes.
We have an action-packed show lined up for our listeners today. And as you can all see, we have a very, very, very special guest. He is a husband, a father, a son, a brother, a serial entrepreneur, and the coolest cousin you'll ever know. Everybody, please welcome our cousin, Dre.
Hey, cousin. Give it up for the ladies. Hey, man, I'm so proud of y'all, man. I don't know what to do.
Thank you.
Appreciate the opportunity as well.
Thank you, cousin, for sitting down with us. We appreciate you taking time out of your day, your busy schedule, to just sit down and chop it up with us. We're going to have some interesting, great adult conversation.
I like adult conversation. Like, where we going? Like, how far we going to go? Like, adult, like how? Like,
hey,
like on TV?
Hey, look.
Or the squiggly line? adult? We going to do, like, what? Just let me know. I'm with it. Whatever.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to do a few things. We're going to do behind the makeup segment, and then we're going to do our main
topic. I'm not going to participate with nothing.
No, cousin, it's not that. It's not that. Seriously. Seriously. You'll be able to participate.
I think I'm going to log off. I don't even know where the button makeup. I don't.
No, it's not like that. It's not like that. Believe me, cousin.
Band-Aid. I don't know what's happening right now.
Segment is sponsored by Tori Styles LLC, your source for inspirational-based products. Explore prayer books, journals, coffee mugs, stylist t-shirts, and customizable items for the small business owner. Visit www.toristyles.com.
It's Behind the Makeup is our listener letter segment. And that's when our listeners get the opportunity to write in, and they get to ask us questions and get our honest opinion. So we would like for you to be real. Going behind the makeup is you being your real, authentic self. So with that being said, Trina, since I am out of my studio, can you go ahead and read the listener letter since I'm actually at a barbecue today? So...
Absolutely. And Dre, get ready because it's really going to be a great one. Not to mention, our main topic was actually started by a conversation that me and Dre shared through Instagram. So you're the reason behind our main topic as well, cousin. So this is about to be juicy.
Okay. Right,
absolutely.
Good stuff.
Okay. So we'll go ahead and jump into Behind the Makeup, and you don't need to put any on, cousin. So don't worry. We're good there.
Maybelline. Most I know about makeup is CarMax. But anyway, go ahead. Do your thing. Go with y'all.
Oh, my God. Stupid.
Yeah, this is about to be the funniest episode. Okay, so before we get started, as always, we want to say that we aren't doctors. We are not therapists. We are just women and men giving our honest opinion, right? So the letter goes a little bit like this. Hey, Tori and Trina, I hope this email finds you well. I've been a fan of your podcast for some time now, and I found so much comfort and insight in your discussions about relationships. I'm writing to you because I found I find myself in a bit of a dilemma. I'm a 35-year-old woman, and I'm in a relationship with a wonderful man who checks all the boxes on paper. He's kind, supportive, and we share many common interests. We've been together for a few years now, and things are comfortable. But here's the thing. I can't shake this feeling that something is missing. There's a part of me that wonders if I'm settling for good enough, instead of holding out for great. I see my friends in passionate whirlwind romances, and I can't help but envy the excitement they have. Am I being unrealistic in expecting fireworks and butterflies after the initial honeymoon phase? On the other hand, I don't want to throw away a good thing for an unrealistic fantasy. Maybe this is just what real love looks like. Steady, dependable, and a bit unexciting. So how do you know when you're settling in a good relationship? No. So how do you know when you're settling in a relationship and when you're being realistic? How do you balance the desires for passion with the comfort of stability? I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. Keep up the fantastic work with the podcast. Best, a 35-year-old listener searching for clarity.
Would you like to go first, or I can go first?
Please, go first. Hop on out there.
Okay.
What are you thinking?
Okay, listener, for me, I want to say that most of the time, you might feel as though you're settling if you don't really feel like you love the person. But you did say that this person checks all the boxes, and this person is supportive, you have a common interest or whatever. If you've listened to any of our podcasts, I say that in my 52 years, I believe that if you have that 80-20 rule, I would go with, if that person meets 80% of what you need, you're doing really well. Because sometimes you have that whirlwind relationship in the beginning, but I don't know that you'll be able to keep up that whirlwind romance. I think over time, things can die down. I think there's ebbs and flows in relationships is what I want to say. So what you need to do is communicate with one another. If you feel like it's something that you're missing, hopefully you can tell that person what it is that you're looking for. You know, I would not throw away a good relationship on, you know, something that may not exist. And if you want that to exist, I'm just going to say, I would just tell the person what it is that I'm looking for. You know, if you're, because you mentioned something about looking at other people's backyards, things look good on paper. They look good in pictures, but you never know a person's household until you live in that household. So you really might have the better relationship, you know, because you guys get along and everything. A lot of times people do a lot of things for show, and it's not exactly, you know, what you're, things might not be exactly how they appear to be, is all I'm saying. So I just feel like I would communicate with that person. I wouldn't throw them away if you guys both love each other. But if you don't have that love for one another, if you don't love him, then maybe you can, I don't know, look for something better. But if the love is there, I would say stay in the relationship. I don't know.
Awesome. Absolutely. Dre, you want to get in there or should I go ahead?
No. I'm going to pass. I've been blinking the whole time and nobody sent the police to my house to get me out of my relationship to help. I don't even know what kind of podcast this is, because we're trying to help people. And all I've been doing is blinking while both of y'all was talking, because relationships ain't safe today. And sometimes men are battered in relationships too. And help. Oh, my God. Next subject. Who else wrote an email, said something about some help? This is
unfair. Want to call assistance for our cousin over there.
This is I've been telling y'all this for years. Blink two times, cuz, if you need help. Every time we get together, I try to tell y'all, hey, help. And y'all keep thinking I'm telling jokes. It's all right. Y'all see. I don't want none of that crying, none of that long-ass speeches on the podium about what a fun cousin we had. Anyway,
Okay, so.
Hey, you know what? I'm tearing up right now.
Are you tearing up?
Yeah, y'all go ahead. Do the thing.
Okay, so.
Oh, my God.
While our cousin goes through his emotional review over there that he's currently experiencing, wave your hand, cuz, if you need me to send a popo. Wave your hand.
I'm going to text a picture to your phone with my hand waving. We just had this conversation last week. But no, seriously, though, on a serious note, as far as relationship goes, I've been with my wife 20 years. We're married 18 years.
Okay.
And what I learned to appreciate about a relationship is that love is an emotion. A relationship is an agreement between two people. We agree to be in this. But a marriage is work. And if you're not willing to put forth the work, everything prior to the work is temporary. It's not going to last. There is no foundation. When I first meet you, I can knock off everything on your list because I'm sending my representative out.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to keep you for whatever my agenda is. Doesn't mean that I'm committing myself for staying or being committed. I just don't want to be a failure in what the cockamamie I'm feeding you. So, I mean, you have to stay with a person and get beyond the representative and then figure out who you're dealing with. And then at that point, you start to make a decision. If that makes any sense.
That makes really good sense.
Yeah, that's really good, cousin. Thank you for your input on that. And I think what I'd like to say is, like you said, Tori, it seems like she's swerving. Like, I want to tell this young lady, and first of all, thank you for writing in to us for our opinion. We appreciate that. But I want to say, sis, stay in your own lane, because in this letter, you're doing a lot of swerving in and out. What I mean by that is just quit looking in other people's windows. They're having a wonderful whirlwind romance. How do you know? You don't know what goes on behind closed doors. You don't know the arguments. You don't know the conversations. You have no clue. In public, it's easy for anyone to put on the front to make it appear to be perfect. But 9 times out of 10, it's never what you're actually seeing. So quit looking in people's windows. Now, I've been on both sides of the fence. You got that man that's handsome, looks good, smells good, and can throw that D from here to Albuquerque and make you feel like everything is all good.
Mm-hmm.
But he ain't worth a nickel, ain't got no car, ain't got a place to live. And at this point, he needs you. So how would you be able to tell if he needed you or what you could provide, right? Then you got your Mr. Right, got it together. He may not be the finest, but that's okay. Shoot, I'll be the fine one in a relationship. He don't need to be fine. It's all good. But your guy, he's steady, stable. He has a career with all the benefits, honey. Health, vision, dental, 401k pension. That's hard to come by. So you want to, sounds like you may have a good thing going on. But if the sex is mediocre, you know, he doesn't know how to dress, he has no swag, or he's boring as fuck, that's something that you can switch around yourself.
Exactly.
Show him what it is.
I can step in. Like, you know, it's not my only gig. I'm going to write something in the comments. But, yeah, I travel and everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, you know, you want to have
girl,
a good time?
Girl, keep your man.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, like, yeah. Everything that he is lacking, you could teach him. Dress him up without knowing you're even dressing him up. Buy him some cologne that you love, and trust me, he will start making those purchases and those investments in himself. Play sex games with him. Show him what you like. while learning what he likes. Introduce him to something that you find interesting. And as long as you're smiling, believe me, he'll be on board. You don't want a man who can't provide a stable future or who may become your dependent. That is not sexy. At the end of the day, when the day ends, in the words of Glorilla, you want someone that can provide for you. That at this big old age of 51, believe me, you can't take your man with a good D to the mortgage company and say, my man got good D. Can I get some good D credit on this month's mortgage? Baby, they ain't even finna entertain your foolishness. So keep in mind, he may not be what you want at this specific time in your relationship, but if everything else, as far as him being stable, a provider, you know, you could actually see yourself with this man, I say try to stick it out, work with each other to see what works for you, what works for him, come together and build. Because like Dre said, relationships take work. And especially if you guys want to get married down the road, it's a lot of work that you need to invest into it before becoming married. So if he's a keeper in all other areas, except you feel like you're missing something, we'll find out what that is and bring it to the relationship. Help him to understand what that is so y'all can bring it to the relationship together. But yeah, that was a great question.
It was. That was a good question.
Yeah. And I really like your input, cousin. Thank you so much. That was a great response. Even offering your services and all. You so nice. You so sweet.
No. I wouldn't dare do that because my wife punched harder than I thought she did. I learned that a long time ago. And I pretty much ran out of apologies. So she already told me that. And even though I could make it in the world on my own, I bought a lot of stuff in here. And I don't know if she's going to give it to me if I try to walk out.
Oh, my stuff, God. So.
I probably have to start all over. It just ain't worth it to me. Cause
it's too much. It's too much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Child support, alimony, all that. That sounds like some big responsibility. So you don't want to deal with that.
You say who? Child support.
Rafi.
Oh my God. You know how fast I become a Rastafarian? I ain't got to pay no taxes. I don't even exist. I go right off the matrix. You know what? Pain is the greatest motivator. Sometimes you gotta let people go through some stuff and become strong.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm.
So imagine my son had to say all of a sudden, I had a daddy, but I ain't got no daddy. And I ain't seen my daddy. You know what kind of inspiration, what kind of fire that I put out of him? He just spent his whole life trying to grow up to be better than me and to prove me. Man, y'all don't even understand.
Absolutely not. You didn't grow up like that. You grew up with your daddy every year of your life.
Yeah, but it's not about me. It's about my kids and my options. I'm trying to get out of here.
Get your cousin. Get your cousin.
Oh, my God.
My Speedos on the beach.
Not his Speedos on the beach.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Well, that's all that we have.
Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff.
That's all that we have for our listener letter today. And please keep your letters, your emails, keep them coming. We are definitely, again, not therapists or doctors, but we are here to hear you and provide our opinion and support you at the same time. So we won't talk down on you, but we will definitely keep it real with you.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So that being said, I'm sorry. With that being said, listeners, if you want to write in and if you have a letter that you want to send to us, send your questions to questions@imhereforit.com. If it's some topics that you want us to address, you can always leave the topics down in the comment section as well. And Trina, what do you have for us with our main topic, behind the makeup? I know you said that Dre was the inspiration behind it all, but can you tell us what is this about?
Yes. So our main topic today is going to be quite the interesting one. And our intent is to educate one another and not to offend anybody. We're just trying to understand the relationship, the era that we're in versus the era that we grew up in. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about masculinity then versus now, a generational comparison. Okay, so this topic actually came about when I received a DM from our cousin Dre, and it was a video of Gunna. A person by the name of Slink Johnson had posted it, and he had a lot to say about Gunna's choice of fashion. So what I want to do is share a clip with you guys and kind of get your opinion on what my cousin sent over to me. So we're going to go ahead and share this clip, and I need you guys to let me know your thoughts. Can you guys hear that?
We can see it.
See it.
Yeah.
You can't hear it? Okay, hold on one second. I'm sorry. Let me try this again. Sorry, guys. A little technical difficulties. Let's try this one more again. You guys have to see this clip to understand exactly what my cousin was trying to ask me, and I had no answers for him at all.
So, yeah, I was just, I was confused.
You guys can't hear it. I don't hear it either.
No, it's fine. Okay, I'll walk you through it. It's a winter coat. It's some shorts. It's some long black socks. And then these big old furry boots.
They kind of look like UGG boots.
Yeah.
Kind of look bigger, uglier UGG boots. I'm not really a fan of UGG boots either, but those look like they went like Kanye designed those. Had to be.
Are those shorts or is it a skirt? A skirt.
It appeals to be a skirt. So shorts and a skirt.
Why y'all give men permission to see that to be in the back?
Yeah, that's not it. That's a skirt. Did you guys?
Yeah that's
a skirt.
There's a skirt. No shorts under there. Just full skirt.
I think it's just.
He probably went commando. With that. Yeah,
okay, so this, the guy Slink Johnson is basically saying, who raised you niggas? Where's y'all daddies at? He was very disturbed by the slide of Gunner's foot, and he kind of like posing like an Instagram model. Look at my cursor. I'm going to kind of like point to when he lifts up his leg and kind of gives us like a side profile of his boot, like he was really trying to show off this fashion. And the guy Slink is asking, is this like expensive? Did y'all see that?
Mm-hmm.
That dragon post with the leg. But the guy Slink is asking, like, who raised y'all? Like, let me know what's going on. What would make you want to wear a skirt at this age in your life? So Drake and I went back and forth, and I'm like, cousin, I don't even know when this started to be cool for men to wear skirts or, you know, feel like it's okay to polish their nails or wear multiple rainbow hair clips in their hair if they're considered fully straight men. Now, LGBTQ+IA, we love y'all. I'm not bashing anybody. This is just my opinion. And again, I'm trying to understand where we are today versus the generation that I grew up in. All of the men that I grew up around always dressed like men, you know, look like men. I never had to question anything, but this generation is just totally different. And again, if that's your choice, so be it. I'm not knocking it, but help me to understand, when did it become okay to wear a skirt? I know that Slim Thug, who's currently on trial for some big old RICO case, he wore skirts. Did he make it cool? More men are painting their nails. Drake paint his nails.
Right.
Is he making it cool? So how do we get here? And is it okay for a 100% straight man to wear a skirt, to polish his nails, and do feminine-like things without him being feminine?
You're asking me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, please. Absolutely.
I don't have a clue. I never had a desire to put a skirt on. First of all, my disclaimer is I'm not homophobic. Like, I don't care. I know I've always raised my sons to be free-thinking men. Okay. So if my son decided to wear a skirt, my phone didn't freeze. I'm thinking. I'm trying to place myself in a position to make I'm processing to make this make sense because I'm confused. Like, I'm confused. Like, I never had a desire to pull on a skirt. I've always had a desire to be different in fashion. Okay. I would never want that different. With the furry boots and the skirt. I don't know. I just didn't come up that way. You know what I'm saying? But with my sons, me teaching them to be free thinking men allows them not to have a ceiling. You know? Okay. So whatever they want to do, I'm gonna support it. But I just believe in my heart of hearts, the guidance and the influence that my sons had from my father, my brother, the people that I associate myself with, the people that I call friends. None of us give off any feminine energy like that to make them think that that was okay. I remember my father told me when I was a child, he said that if as a child, as a young man, if growing up, if you didn't have a father, you had people in your lives like Martin Luther King, Jesse Jackson, or whomever you wanted to emulate that you could dress like, that you could be like, but you would still stay in a favorite uncle or your neighbor. You had something that you could emulate if you was confused about how the type of man you wanted to be. You could just, because that's the best form of flattery is when you copy something, copy somebody. So if I told my wife to go buy a dress like Tori's or to do her hair like yours, I'm complimenting you because I admire the look that you have. You know what I'm saying? So the same thing with men, because there's no such thing as a self-made man. We're all pieces and bits of what we take on from other men that we admire. I mean, I'm so confused right now in this state that we're in with the everything. I mean, is it confusing for you ladies as well? Like, I mean, you know, like, I get clear polish on my toes because it lasts longer. I get my nails buffed. You know what I'm saying? I get manis and pedis. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, which
but
I don't think
that's a part of grooming yourself. That's a part of grooming yourself.
I get my hair cut. Right. But yeah, I don't want the no chip. Color stuff. Yeah, I don't want, and then to get the special color right here, whatever the hell that's for. I don't
the French tip.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't want that. You know what I'm saying? But I want to be well groomed.
Absolutely.
You know, and I damn sure don't want no skirt on because, and he had on a mini skirt. At that, he wasn't even being respectful. He didn't like have on the sanctified skirt that came by his ankles.
Not the sanctified skirt. Yeah, but then too, Dre, do you think that men that, like you said, even our uncle would say to you, you know, if you would find someone in your community to kind of emulate. Do you think that we're missing those role models, especially with the absentee fathers through the roof, you know, and then we don't have the men. And then some of the men that are out there are rocking handbags I can't even afford. $30,000 handbags. Shoe game is crazy. So those are the high fashion models that they're seeing, and they're trying to emulate
metrosexuals. My argument with that, with the men, with the purses, you guys call them something else to make the men feel more comfortable about carrying a purse. As a man, where did we get all these accessories? Hey, look, I carry a jar of Carmex. I prefer the jar because I'm old school. But if they don't got the jar, I get the tube. Fits in my pocket. My daddy called it a billfold. I call it a wallet. Everything I need is in my billfold. That's it.
In your billfold.
Yeah. I didn't put my deodorant on. I didn't spray this much cologne. I'm going to need for the whole day. I don't need to carry that. I changed my underwear. Why do I need a purse? What's in there? I listened to my wife say, this purse too big. I can't even fill it up with stuff. So as a man, what I got in there? A toolbox? What I got in there? Extra spare tire? Like, why I need a purse? And then how do I feel comfortable as a man buying a purse? What y'all call it? A smurfs or something like that? They feel
It's still a purse. It's still,
even with the blue bag.
A man purse.
Even with the book bag. I didn't carry a book bag in high school. I carried the Eddie Bauer portfolio. Whatever didn't fit in my Eddie Bauer portfolio, which is like a briefcase, but it was made out of a cloth material. If it didn't fit in there, I left it in my locker. I couldn't take it home. I came back and got the rest of the stuff that I needed if I had to study a different subject the following day. Okay. But I didn't even carry a book bag in high school, so then why I need a book bag? I'm a grown man. My car got a trunk. I need to put some in there. Where are all these accessories for men coming from? And why is society making it okay? Why is the tail on my suit jacket at my waist? Why my booty got to pop out of my suit? Why you need to look at my booty? You know a suit's supposed to flow? It's supposed to flow. It's supposed to accentuate your body and your movements.
Yes.
You're supposed to know what materials to buy to have your suits made out of, or if you buying off the rack, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. Your cuts. It's just, the lady said she thinks people, man, I don't pay anything on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok. I don't take it serious at all because it's crazy. Have you ever seen a guy that thought he was cold? He had on all, everything was right. On his sleeve, on his suit, he still had the tag right there?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And you're like, what? Like, you know you saw those little four little dots that you could have just cut up off that sleeve, sir.
Well, Trina, here's the thing. Here's the thing. The telltale sign just from a man looking at another man, right? If you got your clothes tailored, your tailor would cut that off. Right?
Absolutely.
But they say that's off the rack. So, I mean, that's an untailored suit, which off the rack suits are fine because you take them to the shop and then get them tailored. They tailor. You can get your buttons covered. You can get your suit cut to perfection. Nobody would never know, but when you leave, that tag is on there because it's for the salesperson. So if you come in the store and you say, I want an Armani suit, there's a whole rack of suits. So to make it expedient and convenient for you, he fans through the sleeves of the suits. When he finds the Armani suit, it's on the sleeve. He's like, oh. He takes it right down, it's your size, and you go from there.
Yeah.
But it's not for you to leave on the show Trina. I got on a Molly suit.
I spent some bread today.
But see, that comes from a lack of parenting or having men in your life to show you that. You know? Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's why. And you were so blessed and fortunate to have your father in your life, and not just your father, a real man that was raised by a real man, one of the sharpest to ever do it, to the day he couldn't do it no more. I got pictures of my uncle that he still looked better than half of these dudes my age.
Absolutely.
Before he passed. And you wouldn't even know anything, you know? So you had one of the best teachers to emulate, if you will.
But it's not, but the benefit of that is it's substantiating information. Because if I said nothing and I remained quiet, you could check my genealogy to see.
Yeah.
The authenticity of who I am or who I claim to be, because I couldn't have gotten it from anywhere else. It's inherited, you know?
And you not on you, baby.
Yeah. I mean, so I don't know. But then I do know, and I have this argument with people all the time, we neglect to look at the devastation that the crack epidemic had on us as a people. We forget that. We forget that. So when the crack epidemic hit in the 80s, it wiped out that generation. So then we had parents, we had children raising children because mom and daddy's in the street getting high. So then you got your older brother or sister trying to raise you, give you something that they didn't completely get. And then after that, then you out there on your own raising yourself. And then now you got a child. We got a generational gap. Times two. There's a big divide, but we don't understand the divide. We just look at it and turn our nose up to it. But there's a problem. We're two generations lost. So all this crazy stuff we're seeing in the world today is a product of the crack generations. Because when we grew up, even if you didn't have your father with you, you had an uncle. Or you had a few uncles. Or you had a stern aunt. That's why our family is so tightly knit, because of the fact that there wasn't no escaping.
Yeah.
And Susie was a nice one. And Ruby ain't playing that.
Sure wasn't.
Uncle Joe? If Uncle Joe took you on an outing that you had the privilege to go to, this is all military. This is strategic. Ain't no running over there. Ain't no... He don't care who your mama is. He don't care who your daddy is. And if it don't go right, you suffer to get your ass whooped.
Right.
And your parents ain't gonna say shit, because what you do to make Uncle Joe whoop your ass? Now, right. Uncle James, you can have a whole bunch of fun with Uncle James. You got Turn a whole it. Bunch of fun, you got a whole bunch of leeway. And Dolly, she only gonna go so far. She only gonna go so far. It's gonna be fun, because she fun, but yeah, you ain't finna just, like me.
Be wild.
Yeah. She gonna take me to my in-law's house on my mama's side. She doubled my ass for the day. I done too much. She needs to get somewhere to sit down and read the Bible, because I done too much. But I'm just saying, we had good family structure.
Right.
Yeah,
that's why we so, that's why we so close. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's important, but you got to think, man, there's two generations. Okay, perfect example. Your next door neighbor, your mama hated them, your daddy hated them. Didn't like them at all. Miss Johnson always told you to stay out of her grass. You would never stand there and give Miss Johnson word for word. You would never call out her name. You wouldn't say nothing disrespectful to her. You would come in the house and you would tell your parents what Miss Johnson did, and then they'll come handle that. These kids, they will cuss you out. I just want to use words and put cuss words together that you never heard before in your life. We would never do that. Out of respect for ourselves, out of respect for our families.
Yeah,
that's inherited information. So if there's two generations lost, where would they get it from? Because by the time the crackhead grandmama recover and get better, she don't know how to teach you that, because you're not even listening to her. So I say all the time, man, some have to die in order for others to live, right? So what's going on in the world today is nobody's fault directly, but I indirectly, the results that we're seeing. Hey, man, when have you ever, in your mind, it doesn't even register when the police pull you over to get out and cuss them out and tell them what you ain't gonna do and this and that, and then he shoots you. Like, I've never been in a position, and I've been at some, I done some things. But when the lights come on behind my car and I pull over, well, jig is up. I don't even got no argument. I only thing I asked him, hey, I'm finna go to jail. Yeah, man, you going to jail. Put your hands on your back. I wake my mom. Yeah, you finna. But I ain't never just cussed him out or just beat the police. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like, right.
Who teaches you that? What makes you think that's okay? I know my rights. What makes you think the police officer even passed the Constitution in grammar school or high school? So what does he know about your rights? He's an employee just like a janitor. Common sense will tell you you can't hold court in the streets. How are you going to hold court in the street with an idiot? Hey, man, the man was just going to get off 30 minutes ago. It was 8:30. He get off at 9 o'clock. He pulled your goofy ass over.
He got
Al Sharpton.
Over.
Al Sharpton, you know your rights. Now, you are. He was going to let you go. Now, I mean, how do you teach your children that? I don't have the best children. I don't even know what the best father looks like. But I've done my best to teach them to be at their best at any given time. I mean, that's all I know as a man to do for my child. A father is the only person in the world that wants their children, their sons, their daughters to be better than them. Anybody else is a competition. My oldest son. I only beat him in income last year by $25,000. I'm at his ass this year. It's a friendly competition. But I'm 54. My 30, 2-year-old son shouldn't be, we shouldn't be no fucking $25,000 difference in income.
Difference.
Yeah. And he don't got shit to do with his money. I gotta break my shit up 4 ways and still try to buy an outfit or some gym shoes in between.
Because you gotta do
his,
that.
Yeah, I'm at his ass this year, but I'm just saying, but I'm not at him because I'm mad. Man, at 32 years old, making that kind of money. Do you know how big the rims would be on my helicopter parked in front of my house?
Not rims on the helicopter.
You know how mad my neighbors would be every time I land in town when I park in the driveway?
That blew all their trees down.
Come on, man, cut it out. But I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, but I tell all my friends, and they do tell people I love them, and I tell them I'm proud of them. Men, women, whomever. Because you don't hear that. You don't hear that. You don't. A person don't tell you they're proud of you. You know what I'm saying? And just to hear that alone gives you the inspiration you need to catapult you to the next level because of the fact that that's an empowering feeling. Yeah. And I don't just give to receive. It's my duty. It's my duty as a human being. We're all connected. So if you win and you become a billionaire and I have this opportunity to be on a podcast with you, God ain't forsake me because he blessed you. God had me in the room. God said, if you follow the reaper, something will fall off your table that'll be more beneficial to you in that moment than you ever had the opportunity to receive. What if I wasn't in the room? So that lets me know I'm in a room with people that's winning. I gotta be next. The room only is so full. I don't care who go first. I don't care if I go last. Just give me my opportunity.
Yeah.
I'm sitting on the bench. The Lakers win championship. I never played a second. You do know at the ring ceremony, they're gonna get the ring.
You still getting the ring.
And your wife get one too.
You know what I'm talking about?
What I'm mad about? Y'all getting one.
Hey, for what? Who has time? I don't teach my children that. You know what I'm saying? I just teach my children to not me. Mm-hmm. Growing up, you had Martin Luther King. You had Malcolm X. You had John F. Kennedy. These are all assassinations, right? So my ideologies were compromised because of the fact that shit, I definitely want to be president. I'm definitely not going to talk publicly too much out loud about valid points to move the people because they kill them kind of people. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fall back. You know, I dropped out of high school not because I failed out, because my friends got kicked out. I just dropped out. I ain't go back because my friends couldn't go. They wasn't smart. I was smart. I compromised myself because I didn't want to make a whole lot of noise. Because I didn't know the importance of being a noise maker. Because my ideologies were compromised. Obama being president, you know what that did for my children? Only thing it did for them was allow them the opportunity not to tell me they don't know. It's impossible not to know. You can't tell me what you can't be because of the fact that the ceiling's been broke. So you can't come to me with no fears, no anxieties about or apprehensions about anything that would make you have to compromise who you can be. I don't want to hear that. Like my baby, he can't even tell me if I ask him a question. I don't know. How? You don't know. You got a whole phone in your hand. You got Google right there.
Google.
We're in the world of information. We're not an industrial country anymore. It's the world of information. How do you not know? All you got
to
do is
remember
tell
we had to thumb through a phone book. We had to thumb through encyclopedias.
Yes.
Do you remember y'all didn't have encyclopedias? You had to go over your friend's house, use their encyclopedia for a paper, but they don't get D. The D encyclopedia is missing. See, now you panicking. You can't tell your mama this because she thinks they so smart. They got everything. You don't even got the D encyclopedia. See, now you scrambling. Shit was crazy. Now he can go on his phone and pull up the theses on whatever.
Whatever. Come whatever.
On, cut it out.
Whatever is out there, you can pull it up.
Yeah.
T, what did you have any thoughts in regards to this subject? The whole men, you know, being a little fashion free these days. Did you have any input for us?
I missed the whole point. We're talking about fashion. I went off on a tangent.
No, actually, you know what? I like everything that Andre had to say, you know,
because it makes
a whole lot of sense. And
absolutely.
And honestly, Andre, I really think you're going to be able to help some young men that don't have fathers just from listening to what you said is probably adding some value to their lives. You know, just thinking about, you know, some of the things that you said about how to respond and who to emulate and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. A lot of young men don't have that. And I think that, you know what, you might really bless somebody from the things that you did say, even though you got off topic a little bit, but I think it was worth it. It was worth saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Because he brought how it even started. I mean, mm-hmm. Who even thought about the whole two generations that were skipped because of the whole crack epidemic thing? I didn't even, you know, think about that. Although I grew up in the 80s in LA.
Mm-hmm. And
it was, the crack epidemic was crazy in LA mm-hmm. in the 80s. So to think that, you know, a lot of the crackheads did have kids. Those kids did have kids, and a lot of people weren't there to raise those kids, you know, so they kind of figured it out on their own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now here we are, 24.
When you say that, there was a saying that my pastor used to say in Chicago. He would say, if you destroy the man in the household, you destroy the city, which in turn destroys the nation. So it all starts with destroying that man. And when you don't have that man in your life, this is the outcome.
Man, that is the honest to God truth, man. And even mm-hmm. growing up as a child, right? Like some of the decisions I made were my own, not because I didn't have the structure there. I didn't even realize, because our society is so influential, that I thought I was missing something. I didn't realize until I became an adult. The majority of my friends and the people that I looked up to that thought they were like living so free, they only had a mama, and their mama worked nights. So when we can cut school and go over their house and drink and do all these things I thought was so cool, they didn't have any structure. And do you know what the majority of them are right now? They dead or they in jail. And only through the grace of God, grace and his mercy, which I'm not even deserving of. Like, man, talk about God and his grace and his mercy on my life. Oh my God.
Tell him, cousin.
I'm not even worthy. But he was there because I had a praying mama and I had a praying father. And I remember my daddy, every night before he went to bed as a kid, he would get on his knees. And even if I went in the room and the house was burning down and I tried to talk to him, he wouldn't answer me. And then when he finally finished praying, he'd say, man, I was praying, man. Don't disturb me when I'm praying. It's important to talk to God.
Wow.
I didn't get it. You know what I'm saying? But through those prayers, my mom will tell me when I was a kid, which I tell my wife right now until this day, you don't ever cut the porch lights off until everybody's in the house. Because the porch light is a guiding light that no matter where they are in the world, with your prayers and God, it'll draw them back to the house. So until everybody's in the house, you don't cut the porch light off. And as a kid, I don't give a damn where I was at. Until I made it to that house, that porch light was on. If I came home at 8 o'clock in the morning, I had to come in the house, I had to cut it off because it's on, because she got it on for me. I tell my wife all the time, she don't quite understand, but it's cool. But that's important to me. Don't cut the light off. Who wants to come home to a dark house?
Right.
It doesn't even feel warm and welcoming.
Absolutely.
It's just things that we miss through the generational gaps. And this is where we are. This is where we are. What these kids is doing, these senseless killings,
Like, man, I've been involved in gangs. I've been involved in gang opportunity. I have slots in the gangs that I chose to be in. Man, we wasn't killers. We didn't kill people. It might be 21 of us out this night just on some rambunctious stuff. One of us may have stole a gun from my parents. Everybody got a chance to hold a gun. If we got into a fight, we fought. Nobody pulled the gun, but what we wanted to do with the gun is what we wanted to hear it, pow, and we got to shoot in the air. But you couldn't shoot all the bullets out because I don't know where to buy bullets because I'm young, and my daddy gonna realize that I didn't shot all the bullets out of his gun, so we can only shoot one. You know, and you stick the gun back in the house. But if we got into a fight, we just fought. I don't want to kill nobody.
Right.
I don't want to kill nobody for recreation.
Yeah.
And the mentality of people that I grew up with, we all had the same mentality. But fighting? Oh, man, we'll fight all day. We'll travel. We'll get on the bus. We'll jump in the car, get in the trunk. We'll drive way over there. He did what? What did he say? You know how you just got the three-way, you push the thing down? Put him on three-way. Shh, click over. Say nothing. Don't say nothing. I told you that nigga said that. All right, I'm on my way. That's how that went. But
absolutely,
I'm not finna shoot up no whole mall. I ain't finna do nothing to your mama. Like, it was just, it's crazy. You know, you didn't go downtown. You didn't go downtown Chicago and drive your car through the Gucci store and just snatch all the stuff and jump back in the car and drive off. Like, you wouldn't. Your mama not even come and get you out of jail for that.
You wouldn't even think to do that.
That's crazy.
But yeah. And I think that, you know, it's a lot of our children that are being forced to be raised by the single mothers who have to be everything. They got to be the provider, the head of household. And unfortunately, what goes lacking is the amount of parenting that goes into the kids that they're raising. And in turn, you get, you know, kids that try to just figure it out on their own. And whatever comes with that is what you end up with. And I never think that that's the intent of the mom. She's just trying to, of course, provide, keep a roof over everybody's head, keep food in their bellies, you know, clothes on their backs, whatever she got to do to survive. But at the same time, she can't give it all, because if she is the full-time parent, who's going to be the provider? If she's a full-time provider, who's going to be the parent? So it's like a nasty catch-22 that these kids are in. And I just hope that they can learn something from you, cousin, especially in regards to at least trying to get a mentor or somebody that they can talk to or emulate, look up to, because we can seriously see that it's lacking. I don't know if these choices are that just choices, or are we just following what's hot? You know,
following what's hot. They just following what's hot. You know, and man, I really don't necessarily want to be assigned to a position. I just live my life like that because I know I owe people because of the fact that I didn't always make the best decisions, and I never really paid attention to who was watching me when I made wrong decisions. I remember a kid, and I ain't gonna hold y'all, I don't know how long y'all podcast lasts, but it's a little boy in my neighborhood. He used to get beat up all the time, and he liked how I was always there for my brother. And he asked me, he said, where this shit caught me off guard. He said, hey, Dre, would you be my bodyguard? And I'm young, like, shit just sounded like something I couldn't commit to. But in hindsight, he was asking for help. And I didn't know how to give him the help or the guidance that he needed. And he in prison right now, like, I don't know when that boy getting out. Wow. But I know during that journey between him going to prison and me going through the challenges that I did in my life, well, if he was watching me and something about what I did made him think it was cool to do what he did that cost him his whole life and I'm being free.
Wow.
I owe people. So every day I strive to be better because I don't know who watching. So I don't do it because somebody watching. I do it because of the fact that what if somebody's watching? You know?
You want to be that change. You want to be that change.
I gotta be.
Yeah. And thank God that you are blessed enough to be, cousin. You know? Thank God that whatever roads you went down and, you know, things that you've experienced allowed you to turn yourself around and be the man that you are today and who raised some great young men. Both of your boys are amazing in their own right.
I appreciate that.
Absolutely. So you did an amazing job. And I'm just thankful that you were able to come and share your side, because I know that this will definitely be a blessing to somebody who doesn't have that male support. So
absolutely.
We appreciate you, your thoughts, your comments, everything. Anything else you wanted to add, T?
Actually, Dre, we do want you to come back and kind of tell your story one day, because of what people don't know is, cousin, I look at you as one of the master manifestors. You know, you can really speak things into fruition or whatever. And I want you to come back so we can get to know you just a little bit better one day, so you can kind of talk about it, because God has been amazing in your life. But
oh my God.
Yes, you have manifested a lot of things. So you got a story to tell. So I want you to come back and tell that story. But I know we are running out of time today, but I think you've been really helpful to people out there.
Also.
Yeah.
Next time when I come back on, can I change like outfits and stuff? Y'all can like give me like a pause period to do like get my Aretha Frank long. I want to, you know. Cause I really wanted to put on my little. I put a lot of money. I was gonna put the thing on. I thought you was gonna be chance, you know. Oh, I was gonna kill him. You know what I'm saying? Then when you asked me a serious topic, I was gonna put my daddy hat on and then look up like this, like I was thinking, like
I was thinking,
like getting the wisdom from the heavens above. You know what I'm saying? Then go back to like,
no,
but man. You know what? It's cool.
Oh my God.
I ain't got no manager or nothing. And we really ain't writing nothing down on paper. You know?
Next time we will make time for you a wardrobe change.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I appreciate that. I got some stuff, cuz. I got some stuff.
We already know it.
We know it. Yeah.
Chi-Town's finest don't play, okay? He don't play. You listen.
Yeah, Chi-Town.
Listen. Chi-Town stands up. He don't play.
Give it up for the ladies. Give it up for the ladies.
This has been fun. Yes. Oh my gosh. This has been so fun.
Please take us out of here because your cousin is crazy.
Well,
Tori, congratulations on the baby, man. I hope you have a painless pregnancy. I know you're trying to throw it off on Tia, but it's cool. I've been seeing you and that guy doing all them workouts and riding bikes and stuff like that. Taking all that iron. Tori, that iron got to go somewhere. Some jewelries. You know. Anyway, hey, tell your story how you want to. I want to be in your business. But,
listen, I am getting ready to be a grandmother, not
Trina, where'd you get a third cousin from? Who has a third cousin? Got a third cousin.
Oh my God.
No, as a matter of fact, that'd be the fourth one. That'd be the fourth cousin on that line. Tori, you need to get your ass away. Sit down. You are too fast. You're too old to be this bad.
Still trying to throw a bag. Still trying to throw a bag.
Y'all are stupid.
Oh my God. Well, we got to bring you back us.
Yes, we really do. Well, okay. We just want to say thank you for tuning in to another episode of I'm Here For The Podcast. You can find us on any channel where you get your podcast. But one of the channels that we really want you to subscribe to would be Apple Music. And what's the other one? Apple Music and Spotify. So if you could, make sure you tune in while you're driving in. And then also make sure you are looking at our Facebook, TikTok, Instagrams, and all of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And make sure that you are liking our social medias, and make sure that you are out there sharing with your fellow friends. Oh my goodness, I'm having a day today, y'all. Bear with me. But yeah, but make sure you like and subscribe to all of our channels, basically, people. And make sure you tune in every Tuesday to our podcast. Thank you so much and have a good one. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I'm here for it. Bye, everybody. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Give it up for ladies.